It's okay. It's 6 o'clock and we have a quorum. So I'll call the meeting to order at six. I'll call the meeting to order and we will let our clerk of the board take a roll call.
Councilmember Aston Nielsen. Excuse. Councilmember Dragoni.
Here.
Councilmember Marumahoko excused. Councilmember Roll. Councilmember Stanley. Councilmember Cushman.
Here.
Chair Weidler.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. If we can all rise for Pledge of Allegiance, please. Okay, at this time, we'll be open for public comment. And we'll let the clerk go ahead. Yeah.
Randy Wage.
Oh, there we go. I think so. Hey. Oh yeah. All right. Well, I'm just up here to talk about two events coming up, Showtime in San Lorenzo, July 18th. It'll be at the San Lorenzo HOA. It's actually put on by the Chamber. They'll be showing Trolls as an outdoor movie night. I believe there'll be a couple of booths. So again, July 18th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The second thing, we're really excited. There's a flyer back there. The Lorenzo Theater is having its groundbreaking ceremony August 28th at 10 a.m. We're just excited about doing this because it's going to be the start of the interior of the theater. It's going to get all fixed up, and it's a really exciting time. And I guess it'll be about 18 months of construction. And it'll be all nice and clean and ready to go. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a good meeting tonight.
Deanne, you're on the line. You got
Yes.
3 minutes.
Okay, thank you so much. Good evening, everyone. My name is Diane Castleberry, External Affairs Representative with AC Transit, the third largest transit agency in the San Francisco Bay Area. I want to begin by apologizing for not being there in person. I had planned to be there and had a meeting that wasn't going to get me there on time, so I'm joining you virtually. So after nearly 2 years of reviewing and updating our bus service network plan that included a robust public participation process, we are pleased to announce that the new AC Transit realigned bus network will go into effect on August 10th this summer. You will see realigned service change announcements and information on our website, which is live as of Monday, as the central location for information, followed by printed information on buses with car cards on the interior and onboard brochures with line-by-line information. The brochures will be available on buses next week. You will see advertising at BART stations, which are already up, where many of our bus transit centers are located, a series of e-news updates, along with social media posts. Additionally, you will find outreach ambassadors out in the community at bus stops a couple of weeks in advance of August 10th, of the August 10th realigned service change. So we encourage the council and community to stay connected with us at actransit.org/realign, REALIGN, and to subscribe to our news online bulletin to stay informed and help us get the word out that service changes will begin August 10th. The good news for the unincorporated area, all the lines that are currently in operation were preserved as part of this effort. We were also able to increase frequency by a bit. We know that frequency is still quite low there, but we were able Some of the lines are at 60 minutes. They're now going to be at 40 minutes. And then we have one line that will be running up and down East 14th that will be running every 15 minutes for the first time as a one-seat ride between San Leandro BART all the way to Union City. So that concludes my update, and thank you very much for the opportunity to share this information with you this evening.
Andriana Jade Ocampo.
Hi, I'm Jade, and I'm a rising junior at Royal High School, and I'm the head of the youth campaign for SOS SkyWest, and I'm here to speak on saving SkyWest's open space and to gain more support and more publicity on our mission. So for starters, SkyWest is 126 acres of land, and some of you may know it as the former golf course, and about 4 years ago, it was shut down and is open to new projects occurring in it. And the City of Hayward's plan with SkyWest does not align with what our community wants at all. So for starters, 4 years ago, when they were first making their plan, in round one, they asked for community input, and the majority of the community asked for it to be used as park space, open space, and for recreational uses. But when round two came along, they did not listen to what we spoke on at all, and only less than 20% of the land is going to be used for what we intended on. So that's why we are trying to fight for as open space. And what they plan on doing it instead is a big part of it is using it as to build more airplane hangars. And these airplane hangars are going to be for people who are not from our community. And after a public records request, we saw that the majority of these people live as far as Palo Alto. So we are wondering why are land use decisions in our community being influenced by rich people who want to use our land as open space, as a place to park their airplanes and private jets over what our community wants. And another part of that is they're going to fill up the pond of SkyWest, which is where Western pond turtles live. And Western pond turtles are California's only native turtle, and they're a step away from being endangered. And we're trying to stop this from occurring because we believe that the animals that live here need to be protected. And many, many people in our community are really trying to fight for SkyWest, along with the people who spoke out about it, like as far as 4 years ago. And our online petition has about 1,200 signatures. And we hope to gain your support. And thank you for letting me speak.
Kelly, on the line, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you, Mac. I'm here to express concerns about the San Lorenzo Creek watershed's flood preparedness, especially after today's announcement that nearly 80% of the parcel owners who responded to the vote rejected the recent flood control assessment. This overwhelming no vote comes just days after the tragic Texas floods. We should question whether the current management of the flood control district can protect residents and property. The San Lorenzo Creek has concrete infrastructure from the 1960s that is crumbling. Inadequate maintenance and an outdated design creates safety risks, and yet the flood control district bungled its public outreach. The county's polling was deeply flawed, leading them to actually believe that they had a chance of getting 50% of the vote, but they only got 20%. This vote, a failed vote, highlights a critical disconnect. The Eden community needs flood protection, but the wider community, the parcel owners, aren't willing to pay for it. And this is made a narrower community, actually. This is made worse by the district's out-of-touch leadership, who don't see much of a link between sea level rise and flood risk. This county's refusal to fund flood control, with the memory of the Texas floods so fresh and the bodies still floating down the river, is short-sighted and irresponsible. We need a new communication strategy and new leadership to safeguard communities like Cherryland, San Leandro, San Lorenzo, Hayward, and Castro Valley. The management of this flood control district is pointed and selected and paid by the Board of Supervisors. So ultimately, everything reports back to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Walid Ahmed. Sorry if I said your name wrong.
Hello, guys. My name is Walid Ahmed, and I am the Digital Presence Manager for SOS SkyWest. I came from the same group as Jade, and I'm part of their youth reach out team. Oh, am I speaking to the mic? Okay. Should I start over again or what? Okay. My name is Walid Ahmed, and I'm part of the youth outreach team for SOS SkyWest. I'm their digital presence manager, and I want to talk about how why we shouldn't let it go away, or why we shouldn't reserve it for other projects other than open space or parking or anything that would benefit our community. I believe this open space could be used in many ways, but specifically in the direction that it's going in right now, it's far away from what our community would want and what our community would want and benefit ours. Okay, my bad. Sorry. I just believe that it should be used for the community here and not for other people on the other side of the community. And the lack of open space right now is very, very low. And if that place gets reserved for other projects or anything other than open space or something that would benefit our community, that would just pour into the lack of open space in our area. And I believe that's wrong. And we should bring more awareness to this. And if you guys could do anything about it, you should go sign the petition, which will be available on a website that I'm creating in a bit. It's in early development. So yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Bruce King, you have 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Bruce King with Friends of San Lorenzo Creek. I'd like to reiterate.
Bruce something. King?
Yes, this is Bruce King with Friends of San Lorenzo Creek. I'd like to reiterate a few things that Kelly Ebru said.
Is he online? I don't see
he's
him.
Online.
Oh, there it goes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Today, the Flood Control District announced at the Board of Supervisors that the flood control benefit assessment that went out for a vote to the property owners did not pass, failed. That includes the whole San Lorenzo Creek watershed, which is and the Estadio Creek watershed and other neighboring watersheds. That includes San Lorenzo, Cherryland, Ashland, South San Leandro, Castro Valley, Fairview, and parts of Hayward. Essentially, the infrastructure is aged. It's 60 years old. There's lots of repairs that are needed. There's an increased flood risk because the precipitation is predicted to be flashier. It's my understanding that they've shown through modeling that the water could jump the channel. We could have channel failures where the channel actually breaks. We've seen that on the Estadio Canal in the Washington Manor area. The program, the capital improvements were to also store more water during a big rain event in the Doncaster Reservoir by modifying the dam and desilting it. All these things are out. The $275 million worth of capital improvements did not get approved by the voters. So the question in my mind is, the voters need this because there's a high risk that there could be big flooding. FEMA, flood zones may increase. These are all things that flood control has been saying. And the need for people to buy more flood insurance could be going up. People need this. We need to ask, why did this fail? And we need to ask the Board of Supervisors in the Flood Control District to come back, give more information, and say what they're going to do to get this back on track. These are big impacts. And, you know, when something happens, everybody's going to go, why did this happen? They're not going to say, why did the community not vote for this? So ask questions. There's not going to be an immediate solution here, but ask for answers. Thank you.
Michael Moore.
Thank you. I wanted just to ask a couple of questions about format for this meeting. There aren't minutes to be approved that were distributed to the public. Online, there aren't minutes to be approved at this meeting. I'm sure that somebody has a copy of the minutes that are going to get approved in a few minutes. But I think in line with the Brown discussion that we had last time, that information should be made available to the public so that we can be sure that what we said actually is what was presented. I think this has been a recurring theme for a long time. I went back through all the minutes since this organization has been together, and there is no consistency at all with how the minutes are presented to the group before they're approved. What usually happens is we just wait for there to be a quorum. It gets passed on. Sometimes it's one meeting, sometimes it's two meetings, sometimes it's three before they're documented. Thank you very much.
No more speakers.
Hey, thank you. Thank you to all the speakers too. With regards to the minutes, I can check with Tona, I guess, but I will check because I don't usually go look and see if they're posted or not. But I think the speaker might be right about the timing of the posting of minutes. So we can try to check with that with the county and see if we can get that corrected if it needs to be corrected. Right. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. And we did get copies of the draft minutes in our packets. I did not see anything to be corrected myself, but does anybody on the board, on the council, have any corrections, additions? Or would anyone like to make a motion that we approve the minutes from our meeting on June 10th?
I guess I will say they were not listed last night when I looked.
Online?
Correct. Unless they were hidden somewhere. It might be nice to get that information from Tona first, just in the interest of public transparency, if we can do that.
Yeah, I agree. I would make a motion to postpone voting on approval of last meeting's minutes until the public has had a chance to view them.
So there's a motion to table the minutes until they're posted for the public to review also.
So motion to table the minutes until the next meeting, at which point we can confirm with Tona, and it also allows for an opportunity for the public to read it in the interim.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Are we going to say exactly how long they need to be up? I mean, I'm saying maybe we should specify. We're just saying in this case, it's a new thing that we're trying to ensure, but I feel like if we're just going to let it sit there right for until the next month, I mean, seemingly that's what we're doing. Whether or not it goes online, and like you said, it's not up to us, but we're postponing it now to make sure it is online. But in the future, I still want to be able to, because if we wait too long, right, we're not going to remember what we said. So I'm all for everybody seeing it, but I just think like postpone it until specifically this one because of the issue that he brought up?
I think, and my understanding from our training last meeting was that there is a requirement for amount of time that the materials be posted for the public to review them before we vote on them. So I'm not 100% sure. It might be 72 hours. So I would, again, make the motion to hold off on approving last month's minutes until we can vote on them once they've been posted online for 72 hours prior to we taking the next vote to approve them.
I'm saying maybe we should specify like 10 days or something like that. Make sure
I
that
think
they're
we.
online in the future going forward, right? That they're trying to make sure that, like you said, they're online ahead of time before we come here and then talk about it.
Correct.
Okay.
Whatever that time period is.
But just to clarify, there typically are guidelines for what that time frame should be. So maybe that part can be clarified that based on what we are required to post, we will then act accordingly. Maybe we already are, but in the interest of hearing the public, let's delay until the next meeting, which is when we could vote next, while we confirm, and then we can share that information.
Okay, so the meeting, the motion right now is to table these minutes because they had not been posted online prior to coming to us until the next meeting. Correct?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I have another question. Let's say somebody is online, they see something and they say that's not what happened or that's not what I meant. How are they going to reach out to us to tell us that if not, like he's here, he can say, actually, no, that's not what I said. But otherwise, I mean, if we give them this time frame and they're not here physically the next meeting, then they relinquish their right to correct us, or how does that work?
I don't know. They could email somebody when they see him online. They could phone in or attend online and make a comment on it since it's an agenda item. And then we would consider it and decide whether the minutes needed to be changed or not. We would receive their input, however, whatever manner they decided to send it. So, is there a second to the motion to table them for tonight?
I was pretty sure that was my motion, but I thought it was my motion and you had seconded, so I'm confused.
Okay.
Or
So the
I'll
motion.
second it. That's how that works.
I just have
Okay.
I have one other question.
Okay. So, wait.
We're
Okay. Wait, Tyler, just a second. So Taylor made the motion, seconded
Yes,
by
as far
Megan.
as I'm aware.
Okay. Seconded by Megan. Okay. Discussion, Tyler.
Were these posted online at all?
No.
No. Okay. So I think, if I remember correctly, from our presentation, is that if you give something to the public beforehand, it has to be 48 hours beforehand. But if you give something the night of or the meeting, it has to be given all at the same time, right? So if these aren't posted and everyone got them like an equal amount, I guess you could say an equal amount of time to look at them, then I don't believe it is in violation of, I'm not a fan of it, but I'm just saying I don't think there has been a violation. I'm perfectly fine with the motion. I just wanted to sort of point out that sort of interesting quirk of the
Do we have printed copies at the table? I can't see. Then I think that was the caveat.
They go
Okay,
out with the
so
packet,
yeah,
though.
my
They,
understanding is, to your point,
okay.
they have to be printed and available.
Yes. Okay. So
A
that,
good
so.
process, good learning and process. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. So Tona is online. Tona, do you have any weigh in on the minutes
They
being
don't
posted
always
or
go with.
distributed ahead of time?
Yeah, they don't always go with your packet. Sometimes the clerk sends them out separately. I believe we should all not be guessing, and we'll go back and double check what the legal requirement is. But as I understand it, when the council receives something, it should also be made available to the public. They also are not specific verbatim minutes, as you all know. They're an overview, and the verbatim is available via audio and video that's recorded. So,
with regards to your motion, we'll come back with what the legal requirements are, and put that on the record and move forward. It is the responsibility of the clerk's office, so we'll make sure and coordinate with her on that.
Okay, thank you. So, does that help clarify? All right. So, is there any other discussion regarding the motion to table? Okay, do you want to take a vote on tabling or not?
Councilmember Aston Nielsen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dragoni?
Yes.
Councilmember Marahoko excused. Councilmember Roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Stanley? Councilmember Cushman?
Yes.
Chair Weidler?
Yes. Okay, so that motion passes. All right, so we will come back to these minutes at the next meeting. Let me, before we do the regular calendar, I just might as well comment on this too. Part of our Brown training, they also mentioned something about using, about the council using electronic devices during the meeting. And just so people know, because I guess somebody commented on it, is that a lot of us get these, get our packets online before we get hard copies. So a lot of us will download them onto our tablets or whatever and put notes on them on our computers here. So if we're using them here, it's only because it's as a reference as a tablet because we have our notes on an electronic device, but we're not like, having private conversations with other people, because that we cannot do. All right. On the regular calendar, first item is the California Highway Patrol traffic enforcement update. This is an informational item presented by Officer Jennifer Pabst. Welcome.
Hello, good evening. It's nice to see everybody. I hope you're staying cool this summer. It's been pretty mild, so that's pleasant. I'm here to give an update. My computer updated yesterday, so I hope the PowerPoint comes through seamlessly. So we'll see how it goes. We'll go to the next slide. Here's an update for June in the Eden area. We've been extremely proactive. We issued 442 traffic citations, arrested 18 DUI drivers. We had 4 misdemeanor arrests, 0 felony arrests. Our injury crashes are down from last month. We had 12. Non-injury crashes were at 39. And we recovered 1 abandoned stolen vehicle. I always like to throw in there that ACSO also recovers stolen vehicles as well, so that's not a total number in the Eden area. That October 2024 is incorrect. It's supposed to be this last month of June. I didn't update that, but the stats do match for June. We did have 2 vehicle versus bicyclist crashes. One, the vehicle was at fault. The other, the bicyclist was at fault. We did not have any pedestrian versus vehicle crashes in the Eden area. Next slide. Some of our past events that have been going on is the Highway Patrol kind of changed the way that we were doing traffic enforcement over holiday weekends. Traditionally, we considered several holiday weekends a or holidays our maximum enforcement periods. We've changed it now to call a holiday weekend a holiday enforcement period. And then we have separate days that are maximum enforcement periods. And we kind of take whatever the theme of the month is, whether it's distracted driving, pedestrian enforcement, speed. Some months have themes. We'll have a day like April 1st, for instance, was the kickoff for distracted driving month. So we had a maximum enforcement period of 24 hours on April 1st, where we just focused on distracted driving. We still stopped other violations that occurred in our presence, but our main focus was on distracted driving. Most recently, we just had another maximum enforcement period on June 7th, and that focus was on speed. Our office again led the state in enforcement contacts, and we didn't have any fatal traffic collisions or any major injury crashes within that 24-hour period, which shows us just how well our in-view patrol works and slowing people down. me specifically, I was working the unincorporated area and caught a lot of speeders going well over 40 miles per hour in a residential zone of 25 miles per hour. So the speed, stopping speeders helps with pedestrian safety, distracted driving, and just being a presence in the community to make sure that people are doing the right thing. We had a holiday enforcement period on July 4th, that whole weekend. And again, we led the state in enforcement contacts, but something that we're very proud of is that we arrested 47 DUI drivers over the weekend in our area. That number is really high, and it's kind of concerning that we still have that many DUI drivers out on the road, as a DUI is a completely preventable crime. So we're going to continue to enforce DUI. That's one of our main focuses, especially during the graveyard shift, is trying to prevent those crashes and fatalities before anything happens. I threw in some pictures. We had a fun time in April at the Egg Extravaganza, the egg hunt here. That was a great, great time. We're looking forward to more community events. Next slide. Ongoing enforcement, I just wanted to talk about, I didn't throw any pictures or any information on that, but as of July 1st, one of the new things that have changed regarding distracted driving is that you cannot have your cell phone in your hand while driving at all. Your cell phone needs to be mounted inside of your vehicle in order for you to utilize it. A lot of people that we stop when they have their cell phones in their hands admit to using it for navigation. Well, that's still using your cell phone. Your attention is looking down rather than ahead at the roadway. So if your cell phone is mounted in the car, we're not going to stop and chat. But if your cell phone is in your hand, that is a traffic violation. So I just wanted to let everybody know. We are continuing our regional sideshow enforcement task force, where we focus on reckless driving and sideshows. Since its inception, which has been about a year and a half, we haven't had any major takeovers in our area. So that is continuing through the rest of the year, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do that for a much longer period. I listed some traffic complaints up here. They're just ongoing issues that we have in our traffic complaint log that our special enforcement unit checks in periodically and makes sure that we patrol those areas, just as we know that they're hot spots. As always, I'm taking traffic complaints. There's the telephone number up there, 510-489-1500. That's to our front office. We have a watch officer up there who will take down the information and kind of help guide you to report that traffic complaint so that we can get the specific details, like what time of day, maybe there's a specific car that's your neighbor, but you don't want to go talk to your neighbor. So we try to get as much information as we can so that the officer can go out there and enforce the issue when it's occurring and not just go in the evening when it's actually happening in the morning. If you don't like talking on the phone, that's cool too. I take emails at 345-RecklessDriving@chp.ca.gov. Next slide. Upcoming events. I'll start with National Night Out is August 5th. We'll have a booth out here, but if you guys know of any neighborhoods that are having small block parties or community events other than here at the Homes Association, please let us know. We'd like to have we're going to have officers stationed at specific booths, but we're going to have others kind of going through the community, meeting community members and neighborhood watch groups and things like that. And I'd like to get that info so that I can send an officer out there to meet the community members. Our next holiday enforcement period is going to be Labor Day weekend. That's kind of the end of summer. People are going out for their last trips. So just be aware we are going to be out there in full force. Next slide. Upcoming education, we have the AgeWell Drive Smart. That's for our senior drivers on Monday, July 28th at the Castro Valley Library at 12:30 p.m. You can contact the Castro Valley Library and get on the list to attend. And Start Smart, our next, we have one tonight, but I didn't write that because everyone's here. Our next Start Smart is at our office on Thursday, July 24th at 6 o'clock p.m. Call our office to get on the waiting list. Our area probably does the most Start Smart classes, so other areas send people to our office. So call ahead sooner than later so that you can get on our list. With both those programs, I always like to let everyone know that some insurances will give you a small discount if you attend and participate in the class. Okay, next. Our new office. Well, here's some pictures. We are still not moved in. We had some issues with the electrical. I'm not an electrician, so I don't even want to try to explain what happened and what went wrong, but I just know it's not good. Our projected move-in is now either late September or October, and we're very eager to get into that new building. One of the questions that I always tend to receive is, how has the consolidation of the two offices been? And honestly, it has really been great for the community due to the fact that we are able to create our special enforcement unit, have more officers out on patrol, eliminate some redundancy, and we're all together and we kind of can brainstorm how we can separate our patrol and make sure that all of the unincorporated area is taken care of. There we have more managers and lieutenants and sergeants who are familiar with the community, and they're making sure that the beat officers are still patrolling just the same, if not more, than they were when there was just the Castro Valley office. And thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
Anyone on the council? More, and I see you.
Hi. Is it settled?
We need to move that a little more. So,
oh, right. Okay, there we go. Hello, officer. I want to ask a couple of questions. First of all, can you tell me the difference as to when a highway patrol person encounters someone versus a county sheriff? In other words, what are the two roles and how do they differ from each other?
Okay, that's a good question. So the sheriff's office and CHP, we work hand in hand. Most cities have police departments, and that's kind of what ACSO and the CHP do separately, but together we work very well. Our CHP's main focus is on traffic complaints and traffic issues. I kind of like to say we enforce the vehicle code, where the sheriff's department enforces the penal code.
Okay, that's good to
know. So there's more like person-on-person crime. That's where the sheriffs would come out and handle the call for service, where if it's a traffic crash or a DUI, CHP is going to handle the call for service. However, like the Reset Task Force and other task force that we have going on, we do partner up quite often. As we know, sometimes things are not just black and white and easy to differentiate, but sometimes both of our agencies will respond to a call to kind of sort out what exactly is going on.
Makes sense. And then you said there is one combined office. Is that in Castro Valley?
No. So the Castro Valley office has been closed for over almost, I'd say, a year and a half now. Our office currently is on Whipple Road, but our new office is going to be at the corner of Santa Clara and Jackson in the city of Hayward.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Well, that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Elizabeth? Let's start. Megan, any questions?
No, I don't have any. Thank you. I was... Are we allowed to ask questions now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm shaking my head. Oh, but
this is yes. See, this is a regular presentation, so it's an agenda item tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. I was not prepared, so no. Thank you.
Taylor?
Just looking forward to National Night Out, and I know that we have the Neighborhood Watch in San Lorenzo that's also going to be participating at the Tongan Church.
Okay,
so just put another area that we'll be hosting in our area.
Do you know if we need to have a booth out there, or is it just
we would welcome that, and we can certainly get in touch too.
Okay, you have my email?
Yes.
Okay, send me a message, please.
Okay, thank you.
Tyler?
Nothing now.
Okay. I was just wondering, I think you mentioned in your presentation about the special cars on the freeways or multi-lane roads or something. Are those the gray SUVs?
The new SUVs. I'm sorry. That was like last month and I completely, no one's asked me questions recently about them. But yes, we do have the new specially marked patrol vehicles out on the road. They are Dodge Durangos. In our area, it's a gray colored Dodge Durango and a maroon color Dodge Durango. You'll see our emblems on the side. They're visible. he's having a good time. From 50 feet, and they're vehicle code compliant when it comes to enforcement. So their main focus is on aggressive driving, high speed vehicles, vehicles that would kind of initiate a highway violence situation on the freeway. That's where their main focus is. However, they still are out on the unincorporated streets and things like that where they can make enforcement contacts.
Okay, thank you. I just seen the gray one and somebody mentioned it and I said, oh, I think those are those new ones.
Yeah, they're really, they're sleek.
Okay, let's see if have any questions or comments from the public. So open public comment, we can go back.
Sandra, you're on the line.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make a comment around FanFest, or not FanFest, I'm sorry, National Night Out. I know that the Ashland Community Association is working with the Sheriff's Office, and we're going to have a pretty big event at the Reach Center. So I'm not sure if you were aware of that, but obviously you're more than welcome, and we hope that someone from the from CHP can join us there. I know that based on the conversations that the ACA has had, it's going to be kind of like the one of the bigger events in the community. So I definitely invite you to join us at the Reach Center for National Night Out. Thank you.
I would love to. Do you mind sending me an email, Sandra?
Yes, I will send you an email. I believe your email is in the presentation, right?
It's Jennifer, JennifePapst, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, B as in Boy, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, at chp.ca.gov.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had a question on the DUI arrest that you said was...
Yeah, and I think the clerk can will reference the speaker.
That's fine, Michael Moore.
Okay. Right. My only question was on your statistics in comparing them with this year and last year. I know that's kind of hard if you change the criteria every year, but you referenced 47 DUIs in the maximum enforcement for the holiday. Which is certainly not good. How many did we have last year?
I cannot speak on how many. I would have to pull those numbers.
And so I think in the future, it would be really nice to be able to understand the gravity of those things. Yeah. The other was the unincorporated area is large. And most of us live in particular areas. Do you break down the unincorporated areas into areas so that we can begin to coordinate what you're saying with what we're saying?
So regarding the way I draw them, sorry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So regarding the way that I draw the statistics is our system is antiquated and I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I have to pull it and I can't specifically grab a street name. I go by beats of where we patrol. So I pull the statistics from the whole Eden area.
Right.
Yes. So you want it, how would you like it broken down? It's just,
I think in the unincorporated areas, there's tremendous diversity of communities, wealth, ethnicity.
Right.
Gender disparities.
So our area that we patrol the Eden area, Castro Valley, and Fairview. So the statistics that I draw for these meetings are just the Eden area.
I understand what you're saying. An effort to discern this group thinks of Mission East 14th all the way down into San Leandro as a business area that extends all the way into Hayward.
Right.
So there's a mission. There's also, there are other areas.
Okay. Yeah, you can do it. I think what he's mentioning though is like the differences between Cherryland, Ashland, and San Lorenzo, the kind of areas that we kind of think of the Eden area as being composed of.
I can, yeah, I understand, or I can see if I can pull it more specifically. Again, like I said, our system overlaps, so it's really difficult for me to even separate that. Like, it would take me
longer.
20 hours to do what, yeah. And I'd rather be out on patrol. I'm sorry.
Okay. Any other speakers?
No more speakers.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll close. Oh, wait. Keith, did you have something?
Just want to say, Keith Barrows. I wanted to say, thank you for pointing out the dangerous parking situation there along Hesperian Boulevard, because you pointed it out and made an issue of it. Enough pressure was able to be applied to Mr. Waldessa met at Public Works to get the signs corrected after much resistance. Anyway, thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I did have one follow-up question just because.
Let me close public comment.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Okay, so public comment would be closed. And Taylor, yes.
Okay. So you mentioned how there are two new vehicles. I've seen one of them. And actually, so I'm flashing back to, I remember years ago, from a safety standpoint, there was concern about cars that were presenting themselves that were not actually county officials. And so at the time, I think there was some campaign or something saying that if there was any one that was unsure about being pulled over, that they, I think that they could call 911. I don't know if that's still the path, but I'm just curious because this is not necessarily an optic that a lot of people might be accustomed to seeing. If anyone in the public is not sure if this is actually an official with authority to pull them over, how can they question that in a way that's safe and, you know, keep everyone?
I'm glad you brought that up. So the cars, yes, they blend in very well with traffic, and in order to distinguish them and make sure that they are the correct vehicle, it will have the CHP emblem on the side, which is very visible if you're looking at it closely, if you're not driving by at a high rate of speed. The officer inside of the specially marked patrol vehicle is going to be in a tan CHP uniform. Unless we're on tactical alert, it would be a blue CHP uniform, but you'll see our patch. If you have any concern, please do not follow TikTok for any safety tips. Follow us. Call 911. That will get you to most likely a CHP dispatcher who can broadcast the information to our officers and let the officer know that the person being pulled over is concerned for their safety. And so there can be a connection there. But some people think that they can text somebody special. I saw something on my kids showed me on TikTok, and I was like, no, that's not correct. Call 911. That's the best way to get a hold of a police officer. And if anything feels uncomfortable, if it is a CHP officer in a fully marked uniform, obey what they're saying. Make sure that you're following the rules. But if there's a concern, you can call 911.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Especially before it was announced, I remember glancing at it thinking, oh,
yeah. And that's why we put it out on the news, and we're trying to get the information out so that people are aware that these cars are out there. They're not people impersonating police officers, but we are out in the Dodge Durangos now. Soon, I'm not sure exactly when, we're going to have black and white Dodge Durangos. Dublin has a new Tahoe, but our area should be getting some Dodge Durangos eventually.
Hey, thank you. And thank you for all the extra enforcement. I think most of us do notice it in
thank
the
you.
Area. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, our second item tonight is it's a consideration of the proposed change to the policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, and San Lorenzo. This had come before us before. I think we had some recommendations, and it's gone through of a more extensive process, and it's come back with some changes. And we have Steph Prenner. Are you Aubrey?
Thank you.
Okay.
Aubrey Rose, Alameda County Planning Department. I am back with case number PLN 2024-00067. This is a modification to the drive-in policy on Hesperian Boulevard in San Lorenzo. Next slide, please. And this affects the southerly portion of Hesperian Boulevard. 25 properties in the corridor. Currently, this area of Hesperian between the cities of San Leandro to the north and City of Hayward to the south prohibit under the policy any new drive-in restaurants. This particular proposed change to the policy would affect 18 parcels out of 25 in the subject area that I'll describe that fall under various general plan land use classifications and zoning designations. This project is exempt from CEQA or environmental review. Next slide, please. And so with the policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, and San Lorenzo adopted by the Board of Supervisors in 1999, the corridors are broken into three. The Hesperian Boulevard corridor between the cities of Hayward and San Leandro is Corridor 3. The policy adopted in 1999 prohibits any new fast food drive-in restaurants, which would primarily be fast food, in that corridor. This is began as a consideration to lift that prohibition, and it's evolved, and I'm going to describe that to you. Next slide, please. So what happened between the policy adoption in 1999 and when I was first here with this item last year in June 2024, all other portions of the policy area, including portions of Corridor 3, have been rezoned for specific plans, and that would be the San Lorenzo Village specific plan along parts of Hesperian and the Ashland and Cherryland Business District specific plan along parts of Hesperian, as well as the other corridors 1 and 2 that are outside the scope of this discussion today. So for hearings, this is the third visit to the Eden Area Municipal Advisory Council. The first visit in June of last year was an informational item and focused on one property in particular, although was meant to take the entire Corridor 3 into consideration. The item went forward to the Board of Supervisors Unincorporated Service Committee and Transportation Planning Committee, and then to the Planning Commission in December, who remanded it back here to the Eden MAC in February to get a vote. And so it came back as an action item. At the second Planning Commission meeting, it was remanded here again, and at the second Eden Area MAC meeting, proposal area was shrinked to include south of Bachman, in addition to three parcels north of there at the Chase Bank and the Chase Bank parking lot and the Sam's Burgers, and the city limits with Hayward to the south. When it went to the Planning Commission the second time, it was remanded here again so that a methodology and a cap for a future number of conditional use permit applications could be stated in the policy. And so here we are. Next slide, please. Just going to give a better description, I hope, that of the area itself. So on the left side shows all of Corridor 3 between Hesperian, between the cities of San Leandro to the north and Hayward to the south. And that is outlined in green. The proposal area that we're looking at since the second Eden MAC discussion is shown in green highlight towards the south, and on the right side of the slide that is zoomed in to show again from Bachman plus three additional parcels to the north down to the city limits at Hayward at West A Street. Next slide, please. And to zoom in even further, this shows the T intersection with Bachman and Hesperian, and that's the northerly boundary of the revised proposal area, and in addition, three other parcels to the north west of that corner. Again, that are the locations of the Chase Bank parking lot, two separate parcels, and Sam's Burger. Next slide, please. So the results of the most recent hearing, which was the second Planning Commission meeting, as I stated, the Planning Commission remanded the item here for a further discussion on a cap and a methodology to arrive at that cap for number of drive-in restaurant conditional use permit applications that would be accepted. Staff suggesting a cap of 5 that's based on dividing the lineal feet of the proposal area, which is approximately 2,500 feet or a little more, by 500, which is a common distance separation in several zoning codes between drive-in restaurants and either existing drive-in restaurants, residential or civic uses, and so on. And this would include the existing drive-ins at which are McDonald's, and which is active, and Sam's Burgers, which is inactive. Next slide, please. So as I stated, the methodology to arrive at a cap for the establishments is based on the division of lineal feet of the proposal area by 500. And discuss the justification. Staff's not suggesting a separation between restaurants, but feels that, in fact, clustering could be a complementary thing. So this is just a breakdown on this slide of the math equation that I just discussed. Next slide, please. Additionally, in the policy document from 1999 for areas that are eligible for a conditional use permit application for a new drive-in restaurant. Standard conditions of approval are suggested. Staff suggests that they be that the policy be amended so that such standard conditions for drive-in restaurants and for fast food restaurants are required rather than optional at the discretion of the decision-making body. And those relate to signage, to litter, including graffiti, truck deliveries and garbage collection, location and time, loitering, noise levels, undesirable odors, hours of operation of the restaurant and drive-through, landscaping plans, an annual review of the operations for compliance with conditions of approval, and a requirement that the operators of the businesses cover any zoning enforcement costs incurred to the county for any transgressions. Thanks. And so these are clarifications to the staff report. Page 5, I neglected to state the three additional parcels along with the limit of along with Bachman Road as the northerly limit of this proposal area. And there was a typo on page 7. The address of the Chase Bank should be, street number should be 18499. And last but not least, Exhibit B, attached to the staff report, left out the methodology to arrive at the cap in the proposed update to the 1999 policy. Next slide, please. So in conclusion, staff recommends that the Eden Area Municipal Advisory Council consider changes and vote on a recommendation to the Planning Commission for in turn a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding policy for drive-in restaurants in Ashland, Cherryland, and San Lorenzo adopted by the Board of Supervisors in 1999. So that's staff's presentation. I'm available to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Let's start at this end. Tyler, you have questions, comments?
Yeah. Does this the CUP process is still there, correct?
Correct.
For these?
Correct. So this would enable potential applicants to apply for a conditional use permit where it's currently prohibited.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay. Warren?
Not at this time.
Okay. Taylor?
And initially, I like this proposal relative to the other one because there's a calculation behind it. And I might be misinterpreting it, but it seems like possibly the spread will be a little bit more distributed. But I was wondering if you can provide a little bit more clarity then on staff's comments about potentially seeing the benefit of having clustering, because wouldn't that calculation then potentially be promoting a little bit more disbursement? So if you can clarify that, I felt like that was a little bit confusing and it might have been the way I was reading it. And I'm also curious too about application and maintenance, because there was reference to this being something that you have seen in other communities, which is great. Does this make it more burdensome to then apply? That's where my mind went is, are we creating barriers with this approach, or will this help streamline too?
So some communities have a 500 foot separation in areas where drive-in restaurants are conditionally permitted. And we're just using that, as indicated, just as a methodology to arrive at the cap, but don't see any reason per se to separate them because they're not already. And the agglomeration of businesses in some cases can be a good thing. We don't know for certain, so that's the reasoning behind that. And then as far as maintenance, I'm sorry, what was your second question, please?
Sorry, and maybe this is a follow-up, though. I guess I don't follow with the calculation of because isn't the storefront, if you're saying based on so many square feet divided by 500, that limits the amount potentially within a vicinity that you could have a drive-in, then how does that then promote clustering?
So the area between Bachman and West A Street would be eligible for up to 5 drive-in restaurants with CUPs, where there's currently 2, 1 active, 1 inactive.
Uh-huh.
So there could be up to 5, but there would be no requirement under staff's proposal for them separating between the individual establishments. Hmm.
Okay. I guess I'm still not seeing entirely the difference between this proposal and that one then, but I'll let others comment and then we can come back to it. Thank you.
Megan?
I am new to this issue. It was a lot of homework to understand how we got here for me to read the packet. So I think I'm tracking. I won't bring up other questions, but in regards to the proposal that you just presented regarding is this the staff's recommendation to change the conditions of approval to requirements instead of suggestions? Or is that the planning commission's?
Correct. That's staff's recommendation.
Okay. Some of these seem like a little subjective, like who gets to decide what is an undesirable odor? So I would just like to say that I would be a little bit concerned about like flexibility, meeting all of these requirements as opposed to leaving the door open if, you know, maybe there's some wiggle room with one, but all other conditions are met. I guess that's just one concern we would have.
Okay. Do you have any response to that particular concern?
Yes. So staff would take that under advisement. We could look into refining that before going back to the planning commission and on to the board.
Okay. Let me just backtrack just a little bit. When this first came to us, it was the area that they were talking about was going all the way like from A Street in Hayward all the way down Hesperian to San Leandro, like to Llewellyn. So it was, in a way, it would have allowed more fast food restaurants anywhere south of Bachman, all the way through the village, through where, you know, Safeway. I mean, Lucky's is, and so it wouldn't. So what we our main concern at the time, and what the main change is, that it just goes from Bachman down to A Street, and then starts up again further down, or I think it just ends at Llewellyn. It reduced the area between Bachman and Llewellyn through the village for fewer fast food restaurants. That's where it started.
So then, to clarify, everything north still has the 1999 policy in place?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
Elizabeth?
I have two things. Well, one is the 1999 thing. When they make the next one, is this already something that, I mean, is there a plan in place? You San Lorenzo people know, but is there something that's going to even clarify this even more when it comes to actually making a more modern one of these for you guys? I mean, is that, I know, because you guys got into the weeds about the addresses. And so this is something in the meantime, before the next one comes up, that you can at least let people, if they want to. That was my second question, is we're already putting a cap on it, and we're being really, really specific here. Other than the lady who was here before, who wanted to have her lot be something, when someone calls, she wants to be able to say yes, right? Are there other people who might potentially have an application, or are we still just, is it just her and maybe four others? I mean, is there demand for this, right?
There's three parcels in total, including that one that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Where there's interest expressed.
Okay. It just seems like, I mean, I have nothing against it. You know, I feel like it's better than having it literally be empty lot. Right. So, I mean, I can see your guys' concern that, you know, there's like, once you allow everybody, so there is a cap in place. I understand, but it feels like for now, nothing's going on. So I don't see any harm in it. Yeah.
With regards to you're talking more specifically about the Mervyn's area, that whole section. There's a specific plan for that part of the village that's being rewritten now. No, when it would be finished. No, but they're rewriting that. Remember, that's the part that they kind of rezoned for the housing element too. So that will all be bundled into there. Basically, this prevents like more fast food places from going between Bachman and, let's say, down to Hacienda, where there's that strip mall with a bunch of little restaurants, and then maybe any other miscellaneous empty lots that could be between there and like where the theater is, that far down, where it's mostly houses, but there are a few miscellaneous kind of restaurants and like a soccer shop and little things like that in there. So this just stops it from, goes just Bachman North instead of Bachman South. Or it goes Bachman, yeah.
I have one more question.
Yes, Tyler.
When in the staff report, it says that there's one currently in use and then one that's not currently used. That's within, can you clarify that, just like which businesses those are?
The one that's active is McDonald's on the east side of Hesperian, and the Sam's Burger site is the inactive.
Okay. I count more. I count like there's a Chinese fast food place that has one, and then there's also a Mexican restaurant that has one. So I'm just wondering, that sort of issue will be clarified through a CUP process. Say if someone, you know, is applying for it and they said, hey, actually, you know, the cap has already been exceeded, that then that can be in play, correct? If there's a conditional use process hearing.
So this, the statistics that I'm speaking of, that should only be restaurants with drive-throughs, and only to the within the boundaries that I indicated.
Bachman plus, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
Bachman plus three other parcels just on the west side of Hesperian and north of Bachman.
Yes. Okay. All righty.
Any other questions from the board before we go into public comment? All right, so open public comment.
Randy Wage.
Yeah, I'm just surprised the one lady isn't here again. I guess this comes up with a good, a good cap of 5. My only concern, I guess, is like, what if there's a couple more fast foods that want to come in? And this process has taken like almost a year. But I guess if I understand this correctly, it could be like McDonald's and then the inactive one, 2. And then if the lady next to McDonald's does it, that's 3. So that leaves another 2. So I guess that's reasonable enough when you think about Chase and Sam's and then further down. But I always think, well, I guess at some point, maybe a drive-through would come in at the Aggies. But I just like seeing economic development. And we've always pushed for that in San Lorenzo for so many years. And it seems like it just never happens. Like, you know, the only thing I can think of, like I was telling somebody before, is like, it seems like the Indian restaurant has come in. That's like the one thing. So I think this opens up opportunities. I'm just bummed that it takes so long, you know, for this to happen. And I have heard through the rumor mill that you know, Bohannon wants to develop something at that Chase or that Sam's. I don't know what, you know, they won't tell us, but they're waiting for this to pass. So I encourage you to come up with a good cap. I mean, I would almost say like 7, but the recommendation, I guess, is 5. And it's so crazy because I went to the planning commission when this all came about and, you know, they were saying, well, couldn't we just let the market dictate it? But then somebody else was like, no, there really should be a cap. So here it comes back to the MAC again, the third time. Anyway, I would just say like maybe like 7 is better, but maybe 5 is okay. Maybe 5 is the number. And that 5 is the number that the planning department will be happy with and pass it through. So maybe that's the way to go. Anyway, I'm all over the place. Thank you so much.
Michael Moore.
Thank you. I think part of the problem is that nobody makes it easy. It would be really nice if somebody went to the trouble to define where these areas are, put them on a drawing that said, this is East 14th. This is wherever it is that we're talking about for all of the areas that are here. And then drew with nice little pens. This is the name of what's there now. It might change. Then it's really easy to get a picture by having that in your hand. You drive along the street and you go, you know what? We don't need another one of these. We really need this. And there's a long line of what those thises ought to be. And then throw it out for public comment. Throw it out to the professionals and say, is there a market for having restaurants that reflect the biodiversity of who we are? That we have clothing and fabric stores that reflect who we are, that reflect the generations that exist here, because we have all kinds of people. None of that is reflected in the package you have before you now. I understand how long it took you to get through all of the materials that were not provided. You have to guess. And half the time you're wrong. It's okay. Half the time they're wrong too. Thank you.
Keith Barrows.
My first question is, Aubrey, is this line that you had drawn across Hesperian? That one there. It goes from Bachman over to where it looks like where the empty lot is. What is that line supposed to represent? Yep. Okay, you want to wait till I'm all done before you answer? Is that how we want to work this? Okay. The other thing I want to mention is the staff is suggesting the clustering as opposed to the 500-foot distance. I think that's valid. If we kept that 500-foot separation between what started this and that empty lot, wouldn't be able to build one there because it's between two other ones. That's my first comment. Next. There's a problem with Mr. Moore was talking about with accuracy. On the staff report, it shows that 180-40 Hesperian is the Taquera El Mexical, formerly the Taco Bell, and it says, is it within the proposed area? Both of those things are wrong. The address 18040 is Marvel Mart, which is approximately in the middle of the Lorenzo Manor Shopping Center over there. And the former Taco Bell, the address I happen to know by heart, is 18502 Hesperian. And instead of no on the chart, it should be yes. It is in the area because it's on the south side of Bachman, along with the Chinese restaurant that Tyler mentioned, which is 18444. It used to be the former KFC before it was a Chinese restaurant. So if those two drive-through places are going to be in the area that we're talking about, that's going to hit your five number already, I think. So you better take a really good close look at that. I'm hoping and assuming that the other three fast food places, Jack in the Box, Popeyes, and Wendy's, will be grandfathered in or be allowed to change businesses. The other thing I wanted to mention is it says the vacant lots within the sub area and their zoning. It doesn't show the vacant lot on Barrett, which is closer than Sunset Boulevard that you have listed. There's an empty lot between 657 and 713 Barrett, between the two Witten, I think it's called Wittenauer Court or Witten something Court, senior places. Just a technical thing. And as I mentioned in your office, the first time it came here, I'll correct you, Diane, the first time that this proposal came here, it was focused on one property. And I think it wasn't about a whole ban being lifted was not mentioned, which is why it got kicked back here so many times from the Planning Commission. And this board, obviously from their reaction to it, push the boundary even farther north than what I had proposed. So let's not have a planning department try to pull a fast one like on this body again, because I promise you, as I told you in your office, I promise you, if it happens again, we'll be occupying Albert's office.
Dale Silva, you're on the line.
Yeah, I would like to be there to occupy Albert's office. That would be great. I can think of a lot of
reasons.
Dale
Silva?
Yes, hello? Can I be heard? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. I'm not speaking as a member of any group, although I did participate in the discussion of this at the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission, as I recall, accepted the Eden Max recommendation that the ban on new drive-in restaurants be lifted only as far as Bachman Road. Bachman Road South was the area where this proposed ban would take place, which is what I understand the Eden Mac had recommended. And the Planning Commission said, great. The Planning Commission thought, though, well, maybe the Eden Mac would like to limit the number of fast food restaurants in that stretch of Hesperian, limited to one, put a cap on it, limit to one, three, whatever. Staff is saying that, if I understand Aubrey correctly, is saying that in general, in overall urban planning, in a distance like that, or fast food restaurants can be as close as 500 feet apart as a rule of thumb. It doesn't have to be. The issue, I think, for clustering, whether they're close together or far apart, or what restaurants and so on, all that's decided in the approval process, the issue that I do believe the Planning Commission asked you to consider was, how many do you want in that stretch of road? What's a reasonable number? So I think that, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what the Planning Commission was looking for, whether they're clustered or not, how far apart, all that, like I say, comes along later. The issue is, should there be a maximum? Should there be a cap on the number of restaurants, drive-in restaurants, between Bachman Road and the Hayward city limit? Thank you.
No more speakers.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions from the boards, or is there anyone who wants to make a motion at this time? Yeah, public comment is closed. Thank you. Any other thoughts from the board?
I guess I'd like to clarify a few things, since I want to make sure I understand the process. So it was my understanding that the recommendation that was voted on by the Board of Supervisors Unincorporated Services Committee was to get rid of the limit, total air policy, just to waive it. But then the Planning Commission said, why don't you come up with a methodology and a cap? And that's why we're here. And then because you were directed to by the Planning Commission as staff, you had to come up with a methodology that was non-discriminatory and made some sort of sense that was justifiable. And then my understanding also was that, to Tyler's point and to these gentlemen's point, the Chinese restaurant and the Mexican restaurant are right here at El Mezcal, but the boundary starts just south of El Mezcal at the top of the vacant lot, or is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And was anything else I said, was that right?
I think it came here first before the Board of Supervisors didn't send it back to planning. It started here. And we're the ones that said, instead of going all the way from A Street to Llewellyn, mm-hmm. or to Via Mercado or Via Wilmachan, we're about halfway through the village, to stop it at Bachman. So that came from us, and then it went to the planning. And yeah, I think they're the ones then that added the kind of limitation with the 500 feet. Is that right, I think, Aubrey?
The 500 feet is staff's response to the Planning Commission's direction to develop a methodology that arrives at a cap.
Okay, so yes, coming up with the methodology and a cap was the direction of the Planning Commission. It was not this body's idea. This was not the Board of Supervisors' idea. This was the Planning Commission's idea, and now we're here to vote on it. Thanks.
Anyone else?
So we're basically saying that we're standing firm on our first vote, which was to allow more businesses there, but now we're adding on that we're okay with your limits of five. And then to Randy's point, like in the future, let's say everybody wants to come here, and then we get a flood of people wanting to come here, we'll deal with that later. For now, we're saying we approve the rules that you've specified. Basically, that's
okay. Correct.
Okay.
Taylor?
I was the one that opposed the last time, so I actually am pleased to see there's a little bit more guidance around this. Because actually we haven't had the demand. We do have vacant space for drive-ins, and I don't know that we necessarily want to be an entire drive-in community. So just think it's nice to hopefully have more diversity in the community. And in the end, the market will probably drive this. But Randy, you're right that timeline is not ideal if it extended. I mean, I'm open to making a motion if the council is looking for that.
So if Popeyes were to close, or let's say Jack in the Box, right? And Jack in the Box is on via, help me, Hacienda. That would be, what I'm trying to, if it closed, it would not count towards the five.
Correct. It's outside of the proposal area. So it's... Right now, any drive-in in the corridor is non-conforming.
Right.
That would remain non-conforming, and if it were to close it under the Alameda County Municipal Code or the zoning title, it would have 6 months to reestablish.
So in effect, the clustering itself is south of Bachman Road plus. That's the clustering. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Warren, did you have any other thoughts? Yeah, got it.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence that the Planning Commission has asked us to do. So I think it's going to depend on the motion. I do think that generally speaking, I'm in favor of what the staff is talking about, although I think that if someone has a motion a little bit different from that, I would probably be in favor of that also, because I also feel that that people who are close to this, who live in the San Lorenzo area, would probably be, would have better minds as in terms of exactly what the right numbering and ideas would be. So that's where I'm at. Thank you.
I'm out of order. Unless Aubrey responds to those two addresses, you might not be able to build any more fast food drive-ins. Those two addresses, which are actually compliant in the area. Those two addresses and the line that I'm talking about.
Wait, okay. Keith, you should... A lot of these are by APN number 2, so I know I've seen incorrect addresses on other ones. So do you have a response to the addresses themselves?
I was using the parcel map and the APNs from the county, and I can take a look at any properties, but it sounded like those two were outside of the proposed area and to the north of it. So there's perhaps we could go back to the slides, but one of the parcels on that side does run south of Bachman. And so the area, the parcel that would be the northerly parcel of the proposal area on the east side of Hesperian would be south of that. We could go to...
Does that then change that ratio that you were referring to, though? That would be helpful.
Doesn't change. Next slide, please.
I have a question. If we, instead of talking more about addresses, if we were to say that we approve this, maybe to the 7, increase the cap to 7, that way we don't have to contend with anything may or may not be the right address. You know, instead of 5, can we say that we're okay with it up to 7 in the future? Let's say all these people want to do it. Sure, 7.
Let's look at the space, though. It's really not, we're not talking about a large area.
But Keith is saying that if we add these two, that could make or break the whole thing, right? So if it's 5, if we can figure this out, I don't see the harm in maybe raising it to 7.
I would just note that the issue is he got to 5 based on math and based on a justification regarding the length of the corridor and the 500-foot boundary and using division. And so I think 7 is somewhat arbitrary. I don't know. I'm not against 7 per se. I don't know what that's solving exactly. Maybe I'm confused, but I understand why it's 5, and there's a reason that it's 5.
Actually, Aubrey, these addresses that are listed in here are, I want to say, more examples, because we're really talking about an area, right, that's south of south of Bachman. So we're talking about that area. If the addresses are wrong, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, because we're talking about the area. If the examples of these things are incorrect, they would or would not be included if they're not in the area that's south of Bachman.
If that were the case, that's true. And so what I was trying to do with the the image on the right side of the slide that's on the screen right now is to delineate the first parcel on, along the east side of Hesperian that is entirely south of Bachman. And that's what the line is, the dash line is intended to delineate. And so I believe the other two establishments that we spoke of are north of it and outside of the proposal area.
Okay, the detailed report that we're looking at is, we have two things. You gave us a synopsis in your presentation, but I think what the things that the attachment that came with the agenda that probably what Keith and the rest of us are looking at, it has a whole lot more specifics. But the actual thing that we're approving is for an area, is what I'm saying, because that's the condensed, I don't know, what do you call that? The shortened version that you gave us?
Yeah, the proposal area. Right. That's correct.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is the addresses are, I want to say, irrelevant. Whether they're correct or not, the area that we're talking about is correct. And the only addresses that really are specific is where the Chase Bank and the Sam's Burgers are. Those are the only specific addresses that need to be correct, because those are included south of Bachman, even though they're not really south of Bachman.
North of Bachman, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So I understand now. So on the right side, the first structure above the blue line, I believe, is Taco's El Mezcal, correct?
Correct.
So that is not included because that parcel is not south of Bachman Road, because that parcel actually goes east and then north, correct?
That's right, correct.
And then the other one next to it also is not south of Bachman, because that parcel continues, even though they're underneath, it looks like those might be driveways, but we're looking at the dark gray lines.
Yes.
So if you're counting, whatever Bohannon wants to do, we'll probably just say one plus, like maybe, I don't know, maybe another car wash and fast food. So if the blue arrows denote one drive-through, and then south of the blue line, that would be one of the proposals. So that's two. McDonald's would be three, and so that leaves essentially from Bachman South two other potentials. Does that make sense? Or do you
right,
agree?
That's correct. I agree.
Okay. So if Bohannon continue or does follow through with, I don't know, a revitalization of Sam's, that would be great. Like Smashburger, that would be great. Get a, you know, a Smashburger San Lorenzo, right? And then the lady that came here, that is developed, there would be the option, because including McDonald's, for two more. Now, I think Dale is asking us, since he's on the planning commission, is two more plus McDonald's plus you know, everything, those five, is that a reasonable number? That's what he wants to know.
That's what we're talking about, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions, concerns, or any other thoughts before anyone wants to make a motion?
I like the cap as well, Taylor. And I also, I mean, for what it's worth, I like the conditions of approval now being mandatory. It does say something about the zoning administrator, so that might need to be edited. But overall, I like how they're held to a higher standard. This is a downtown. This is not just some random freeway off-ramp, you know, in the Central Valley. I think they should have to, you know, comport with noise levels and lighting and all of that, since a lot of them do abut residential properties. So I'm actually for those becoming requirements.
Okay. Taylor?
I would make a motion to support this proposal.
Okay, so there's a motion to accept the proposal. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing no discussion, we can call for the vote.
Councilmember Aston Nielsen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dragoni?
Yes.
Councilmember Marumahoko excused. Councilmember Roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Stanley?
Yes.
Councilmember Cushman?
Yes.
Chair Weidler?
Yes.
Approved.
Okay, so that motion passes. And I thank you all for your consideration. And I know it's gone back and forth many times, but I hope this will serve us well. Thank you. All right. So let's see. I think that's all of our agenda items. Sir, a chair's report. I don't have a big report, but I'd say be careful what we ask for. Some of us got these binders, three of us. This is from for District 3. And just want to make sure that you all understand that when we made some suggestions at the last meeting, and one of them was something about, you know, training and more information for new members. And I guess District 4 was putting together something. And I have various versions. This is included in here is like the specific plans and general plans and the business plan for Ashland Cherryland. So I've had them all in separate little binders over time. But anyway, that's what we got for District 3. So that was one of the things that people asked about. So now we have to read this and then we can say we're trained.
I was going to say, I hope that we get to inform the more updated version of that in the future, right? Because that's also pretty old.
Yeah. So the other things, we did have a CHP come. We did discuss having them as regular items on a routine basis instead of just the reports. I don't know, Tony was going to do a little more checking with it, whether they're even available, but we always have to keep in mind that sometimes our agendas go all the way from 6 to 9 anyway, when we have a lot from the Planning Commission. So that's a time consideration on that, but we did consider it. The other thing I would just like to put out there for us is when Public Works gave us their general presentation, we kind of said it was a nice overview, but we had specific things we'd like addressed. And I think some of those specific things might be coming up, like some of the big trucks on Grant. There was something about, I had three of them. I think like garbage being picked up and in a timely fashion. So anyway, if there's some any of the specific things like that, if you guys want to, you can email them to me and maybe we can make an agenda item, future agenda item. We'll talk to Tona about it. Just see if we have enough specifics if we want to invite Public Work back in the near future to address specific items that we didn't really get answers to in the overall presentation. So that's all that I have. Are there any other council announcements, comments, or reports? Taylor?
Oh, go ahead, Warren.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Is anyone in this room know when the Eden Area Chamber of Commerce is doing their August event? I can't find out where it is. I can't find out, you know, anything about it. So I'm hoping somebody in this room will be able to tell me because I want to go. I thought it was at Zocalo Park, but I'm unsuccessful in trying to find out what's going on with it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ashley. All right. Any other council reports, Tyler?
I appreciate that when it comes to Public Works and the different sort of things. And thank you for taking lead on that. I think we got a couple comments regarding the flood assessment vote failure. So what Public Works plans or just sort of thoughts regarding what's going to happen with flood. It seems, and you know, it's an important issue that inquiring minds want to know.
Okay, Taylor.
Yeah. Tyler, yes, that was one of mine. So glad. If we look back at our notes from when Public Works came, actually, there were three items, as I recall, that we wanted to circle back around with. I can look at my notes. Flood control was one of them. So that's quite timely now. And while we're on comments, I just want to continue to ask or reiterate, we have our agenda entirely in English. And I know we offer translation services, but if you don't speak English, you don't know how to exercise that option. And we have asked multiple times if some addendum or something can be added and just copied and pasted going forward. I'm going to keep asking on the behalf of those that don't speak English, because it would be really nice to have their presence here. But how can we get that portion of the populace here if they don't know how to get here? And of course, I know we don't want to pay for a translator that won't be used, but how will they be used if the person doesn't even know they're available? So thank you.
I had one more comment.
Yes.
Thank you, Taylor. Good points. I also just wanted to, on the note of public comment, I wanted to commend our youth for coming and participating and exercising their voices about issues that they care so much about. It was great to see you all here tonight.
Yes, thank you. Elizabeth, you have anything? All right. Any staff announcements? None from supervisors, representatives. Tony, you have anything?
I do. I just wanted to confirm that I did talk to the sheriff's office and they will be coming to next month's agenda.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then we did talk about any future agenda items. We didn't have it on our, actually on our agenda, but we got a couple. Did anybody else have any other future agenda items that you might want to suggest? Okay, hearing nothing else, I think we are ready to adjourn. Unless there's an objection, we can adjourn the meeting at, like, what is this, 7:45? 7:43? All right, meeting is adjourned. Thank you. I don't know.